So as we begin the Advent season, it is a time to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ at Christmas, but also to prepare ourselves to meet Christ when we'll stand before him one day. And so St. Paul, in the second reading today, he's writing a letter to the Thessalonians, teaching them, instructing them how to get themselves ready for when they'll meet Christ. And his final piece of advice that he gives to the Thessalonians in this letter, he says, "We ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you should conduct yourselves to please God, you do so even more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus." And basically what he's saying is that our standard of behavior, you know, our code of conduct, the way we live our lives and our morality, the behaviors that we believe will lead us to salvation and lead us to happiness, are the teachings that come to us from Christ, which he's handed on through the apostles in the church to us today. And so our code of behavior, we live according to what we learn from Jesus Christ. But there's another message that we're getting that's a counter message. You know, the message of the world. And more often than not, it's a stronger voice, and one that we hear louder and more frequently. And that's the voice of the kingdom of darkness, which ultimately will lead to our destruction. And so there are two voices, the voice of Christ and the voice of the world. And we need to be careful to decipher between the two and make sure we're listening to the right voice and live according to the right voice. I'll give you an example. When I was teaching high school, of course, I taught high school for 6 years, and we would go through basic morality with the students, and we would definitely have some interesting conversations going through some of the basics. But the kids that I taught, and keep in mind, this was a Catholic school. These kids had been brought up Catholic to one degree or another. We would get to the commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain." And I said, "You can't drop a JC or a GD or an OMG, you know, any of those. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. And that's a sin." And the kids were shocked. I mean, they couldn't believe it. They're like, "No one's ever told us this before." I said, "Well, it's not like it's written in stone." "Oh, wait, yes, it was 4,000 years ago. It's in the Ten Commandments. It really hasn't changed in 4,000 years. And I said, "Well, not only is it a sin, but it is a mortal sin to take the Lord's name in vain." And that got him even more. Violations of the Ten Commandments, that is grave matter. And I think one of the reasons why this was so shocking for him is because nobody ever stood up and told him that it was wrong. You know, these kids were sophomores in high school, 15, 16 years old, and no one ever told them that it was wrong to take the Lord's name in vain. And I think that that in their lived experience, they've heard the Lord's name cursed so often, probably dozens of times a day, that it just became natural for them. And for someone to tell them that it was wrong, it was shocking. And then they would try and argue with me about it. They're like, "Well, God won't send me to hell if I curse his name." I'm like, "Well, if you're cursing God's name, you're cursing God. And where can you go for all eternity where people are cursing God? And where can you go where nobody curses God? One's hell and one's heaven. Where do you want to end up?" And then they'd still try and keep arguing with me. You know, I think that was the real reason, is because they had just heard the counter message so often and so strongly, and they hadn't heard the authentic message of Jesus Christ. And you know, I think that this is just one example of many. I could go through, you know, probably a dozen different examples off the top of my head. But the real point I'm trying to make is the message that they had been hearing and what had formed their conscience was the message of the kingdom of darkness. They thought it was perfectly acceptable to curse God's name, and they didn't want to give it up. And so I think we need to be careful as to which message we're listening to, and we have to be aware of how prevalent the message is of the kingdom of darkness. A report came out a few months ago about the teens and the use of social media. And the conclusion was that on average, a teenager in the United States spends 9 hours with social media per day. 9 hours per day on average. And that would include television, movies, internet, video games, and just checking social media sites online. 9 hours a day. That means they spend more time watching television, movies, music, and that than they do sleeping. They spend more time with social media than they do with their parents. And they spend more time with social media than they do in school. And so the question is, what is influencing them? What is the strongest influence? If they're listening to that much music and television that much, how many times a day are they hearing the Lord's name cursed? How many times are they watching people dressed immodestly? How many times are they watching people who are involved in sexual immorality? How many times are they listening to people glorifying drug abuse? What is influencing them? It's the culture around them that they're immersed in. The study said that many of our young people check social media over 100 times a day. Over 100 times a day. And I guarantee you our young people are spending more time on social media than they are in church. If we're lucky, they're spending 1 hour a week in church. And they're spending 9 hours per day immersed in social media that in many cases is corrupting their morality. How many of us would let our kids spend 9 hours without supervision with a drug addict or with a sexual deviant? And yet we let them listen to music from those people where that is being glorified as their form of entertainment. The kingdom of darkness is relentless. They're going to go after us relentlessly, like wolves who have caught the scent of their prey. They're going to attack. And I think very often, parents and grandparents simply aren't aware of how dangerous the situation is that they're putting their kids in and the level of exposure that they have to the kingdom of darkness. You know, just the sheer number of times per day that they're exposed to immorality. And the more we're exposed to it, the more it affects our conscience. And it's not just our young people that are affected. It's all of us. How much time do we all spend watching television and exposed to the same forces? It might not be quite 9 hours a day, but all of us are exposed to this. And so I think this Advent, it's important for us to take a step back and, first of all, to do a very thorough examination of conscience. Find one online, or if you want a good one, I have some that I can give you. But go through carefully what the church teachings are and how we're living our lives and see if there's some differences. Because all of us are affected to one degree or another by immorality and by the forces around us. And we need to be very attuned to ways in which we have bought into the counter message to Jesus Christ and ways in which we are not living as authentic disciples to Christ. So I think the first thing to do is to do a very careful examination of conscience. And the second thing that I think is important for us to do is to evaluate how much of our lives we're surrounded with the counter message. If we're watching television that's presenting immoral images, or whether it's just the materialism that's thrown in our face with commercials, turn it off. If we have music, or our children have music that is immoral, delete it. Get rid of it. It is better to get rid of the music than to lose our souls for all eternity. If we have video games that glorify immorality, destroy them. Children, I give you permission to get out the hammer. If you have immoral video games, smash them. It is better to get rid of the video games than to lose our souls. So to take some time to look at how much time are we actually influenced and get rid of the immoral influences. If we're constantly surrounded by immorality, over time, we'll become very comfortable around it. That's the first step. And then after we become comfortable around it, we'll begin to enjoy it and delight in it. And before long, we'll find ourselves participating in it. The path to salvation is difficult, and we have to be careful. And we have to be especially careful with the influences that we surround ourselves with, the influences that are in our families, and what we allow our children to be exposed to. So we need to get rid of the immoral influences, destroy them, get them out of your life, and replace them with the proper influences. Reading Scripture, reading the teachings of the church. Go to EWTN, watch that. Go to the Catholic media sites. Find books that interest you from Catholic authors. But in one way, shape, or form, all of us should be trying to surround ourselves with a Catholic culture and an environment that will reinforce the values that are important to us as followers of Christ. So this Advent, I'd encourage you, take some time to do a very thorough examination of conscience and go to the sacrament of confession. Take advantage of those opportunities as they're available. And second, look at the influences that are surrounding us and our families. Get rid of the immoral influences. It's not worth a few minutes of entertainment to lose our salvation. And replace those with the influences of Christ, things that will help us and help our families.